The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Tom Curran's Patriots Talk Podcast. I am Tom Curran coming to you from the home office in Freetown, Massachusetts. We got you quarantine content getting served up. And what we're going to do today is go into an AFC East roundtable. Okay, we're going to talk about the Patriots, their longtime death grip on the American Football Conference's Eastern Division could be loosening in 2020. You've seen the guys go out, not just Tom Brady, but so many others. So we're going to bring in from Buffalo, actually Orchard Park, New York, Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic. Also from Lighthouse Point, Florida, covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. It's Armando Salguero. Then, of course, you know him well. It's Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News. Manish, hit it. Look at this. This is so smooth, so smooth. Boys, how y'all doing, huh? One at a time, because we can't have crosstalk. Matthew?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Couldn't be happier to have you. Armando, you are canal side, I think, down there, right?
I'm in paradise, Tom. What can I tell you? That's where I live.
And Manish, you are wherever Manish is. Where? What exactly? What town are you in?
Are you in hiding? I'm
outside of Philadelphia, actually. And I wish I were with Armando 6 feet away.
I think we all do. Arms length. Now, listen, I put up a poll today, guys, because the New England Patriots, as we know, they have been in charge in the AFC for a long time. And the poll that I put out was, the Patriots have held the AFC East in a death grip for 2 decades. In 2020, their grip is strong, real strong. 3.7% of respondents agreed. Loose. But it's not that loose. 42.9% agreed. It's slip sliding away. 39.6% of respondents agreed and 13.8% of fans. And this is Patriots fans on my Twitter feed. I'll remind you, agreed that the Patriots have lost their grip on the AFC East. First things first, let's start with you, Manish. How much reveling is being done right now in your immediate area, in your readership area, about the Patriots suddenly maybe starting to slip down the pole?
I think the best part of the last 2.5 weeks from a football perspective has been that Tom Brady is no longer in the division. Because if you look at the moves that Joe Douglas has made, predominantly one-year deals, so I look at the Jets as kind of in a holding pattern. There hasn't been that big of a splash, so the biggest impact and I think, you know, Matthew and Armando can speak to, you know, their teams. But clearly, from a Jet perspective, not having the best player in the division over the last 2 decades be a part of the division anymore is clearly the most significant piece of the last couple of weeks.
And the fans, are they over the moon? They got to be over the moon. They're sick of this shit.
Yeah, I think the fans would be much happier if they didn't have a certain head coach in charge, you know, somebody that Armando is familiar with.
Armando, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, down here, it's not quite the Patriot-centric situation that it is everywhere else, because the New England Patriots have actually moved to South Florida. I don't know if you've noticed. they have Kyle Van Noy now. You know, they're going out, and any former Patriot that will ever have been a former Patriot, Ted Karras, you know, Grazier Hill, come on down. We're happy to have you. It's all good, but you can't have Tom Brady because he's too good. Not Tom Brady. Sorry.
You know what? They could have made that happen. They could have made that happen, I think, at some points, and you probably have the same thing, but I don't want to spend too much time on Brady. Matthew, up in New York, Orchard Park, out in New York, where obviously Buffalo made some huge strides in 2019. they have to be over the moon because they look to me like they might have the best roster and the best chance of knocking the Patriots out of first place.
Yeah, fans are absolutely thrilled. They're happier about that than they have been about most things that have happened to this team since I've been covering them. I mean, the mayor, during an update on the coronavirus situation, referenced Tom Brady leaving the AFC East and told people to celebrate responsibly and keep their social distance. So needless to say, people are really excited about Tom Brady finally leaving. A little bit of, they kind of wish they could have beaten him, right? You know, they didn't really get a chance to unseat Tom Brady, but they are more than happy that he's, you know, taken his talents to Tampa Bay, given the Bills a chance while they're entering what looks like a potential window for them to compete. Mm-hmm. The Patriots are having to readjust their grip, so to speak. So, yeah, people are thrilled about Tom Brady leaving.
Which team do you guys think, start with you, Armando, is best equipped to unseat the Patriots? I mean, are the Dolphins, who beat the Patriots in what was a critical game, the Patriots weren't screwing around. They were trying to win that football game. And the Dolphins just kind of, in some ways, didn't surprise the Patriots. They exposed the Patriots for what they kind of were by the end of the year, not a great team. So what's your idea of the pecking order within this division right now, Armando?
Yeah, I still think it's the Buffalo Bills that would be the next most logical team.
Jarring to even hear that, isn't it? Like, to ask that question, who's in charge of the AFC East, and then your answer is, yeah, I think it's the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, actually, I started covering the NFL in 1990, and the Buffalo Bills started a four-year run to the Super Bowl in 1990. So I am aware of what that is like. And I know what going to playoff games in January in Buffalo at Orchard Park feels like, and it would feel like for any AFC East team to visit at that point. So I'm aware, and I think since they went to the playoffs last year and they've done some stuff with, you know, Stephon Diggs and all that stuff this offseason, they are, to me, the most logical heir to the Patriots' throne, if indeed the Patriots are knocked off the throne.
Manish.
Totally agree with Armando. I think if you're being objective about it, Buffalo is clearly best positioned because of what they've done these last two off seasons. They have done everything that a team with a young, promising quarterback should do. You know, you can go back to Seattle and what they did when Russell Wilson was on his rookie contract, you know, beefing up guys around him on offense and defense. You see Buffalo doing exactly that and then bringing in Stephon Diggs this offseason in addition to everything they did in free agency a year ago. The big question mark, of course, is Josh Allen actually good?
Right.
If he is not a franchise quarterback, it's not going to work. But he's, you know, he's ascending. I think he still has a lot of holes in his game. But the way they have built around him is exactly how I thought the Jets should have built around Sam Darnold. And both those guys came in the same year, and it looks like the Bills are clearly way ahead. And just real quick on Miami, Armando, I know there's a lot of new pieces in place coming from free agency. Obviously, a lot more pieces to come during the draft. But to me, because of my belief in Brian Flores and my belief in Chris Greer, even though, you know, it's relatively unproven, I think Miami can turn this around relatively quickly. And I think if they do that, it would not be surprising in the least, from, in my opinion, if they get the quarterback position figured out, that they could be relevant playing meaningful games in December. I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but I don't think you can count them out. I do think that the Jets and the Patriots, mainly the Jets because of who their coach is versus who New England's coach is, I do think that the Jets are probably farther or furthest away from ultimately taking over.
Matthew, do they have to overcome Allen in some ways? Because, I look at a guy – sometimes players don't get more accurate. Actually, frequently, it's almost a rule. You don't go from being a non-accurate thrower to being an accurate thrower. You have to overcome it to some degree. And I think Allen's doing that. He also has to overcome, I think the game speeds up on him. Maybe that happens when you go to the University of Wyoming. But just his performance in a game of just pivotal playoff, obviously a playoff game in overtime, he had consecutive plays. It's like the light never went on, and he tried to put a buff and shine on the decision-making. It got worse. And I'm almost wondering, and I don't think a lot of people would agree, I don't think many would agree with this, Matthew, is they're going to have to overcome him in some ways.
Yeah, I think you're right, honestly. I mean, if he doesn't change, then they're going to have to overcome him, because in the biggest games against the best teams, he had some of those moments. You know, he didn't play well. They didn't beat many teams that competed for the playoffs last year that were in the playoffs. He had a great game on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys ended up being kind of a dud of an opponent. He's struggled against the Patriots pretty much every time he takes the field against them, and that's probably not going to change, right? Bill Belichick's not going anywhere. That defense isn't getting a lot worse, so he's going to have to figure some things out. Now, he's got the same offensive coordinator for the third straight year. He's got the same offensive line coming back intact. They put Stephon Diggs into a wide receiver depth chart that already had John Brown and Cole Beasley. So they've got some pieces that I think they're trying to build the offense to his weaknesses in a way, and to his strengths, you know, accentuate his strengths, cover up his weaknesses. A guy like Stephon Diggs can get open, and he's got a good catch radius, so he can maybe, you know, make up for some of those inaccurate throws. And the windows are going to be bigger because the guy gets open. So, yeah, they've got a great defense. They've got tons of talent around them. Like Manish said, they've done everything you need to do around a young quarterback. Question is if they have the right quarterback. You know, the Jets quarterback might be more promising, but he's got no talent around him and a terrible coach. And the Bills quarterback's imperfect, but he's got so much around him.
See, I don't even hate Adam Gase, and I know that I'm in the – huge minority there. People loathe him here, there, Manish, and then Matt just came off the top rope. But I look at that and say, okay, well, you just brushed up against him, Matthew. Who has the best and worst roster in the division? Because I would actually go as far as to say the New England Patriots at this juncture have the oldest roster, the least amount of salary cap space. Yeah, they have a great amount of institutional knowledge and a terrific coach, but they also lost their best pass rusher, an incredibly good linebacker. They lost an offensive line coach. I think their roster and situation, I hate to say this, could possibly be the bleakest in the division. Not talking about
Buffalo's,
coaching.
I think the Bills are set up really well the way they've structured their roster. The defense is young, has a lot of pieces that are coming back, should still be one of the best defenses in the league. The wide receiver group, I mean, you guys could tell me if I'm out of line. It might be the best in the conference. It's easily the best in the division.
I wanted to go to Manish on this because he obviously lacerates the Jets every opportunity he gets. Do the Patriots have a worse collection of talent right now than the New York Jets?
Wow, that's a good question. The New York Jet roster is unknown because they brought in so many new guys in free agency, and they're all one-year rentals. If you just look at what Joe Douglas did in free agency, he signed 14 guys. 10 of those 14 were on one-year deals. Of the remaining four guys who were on three-year deals that they brought in, three of those four are de facto one-year deals. They're essentially easy outs for the team. So there's a lot of new pieces in place. So there's new faces, doesn't necessarily mean better. So I don't know if the Jet roster, let's put aside the Patriots for a moment. I'm not even sure if the Jet roster of 2020 is going to be better than the Jet roster of 2019. I think if you look at some of the struggles that New England had, obviously, last year, they're hurting for talent. But I'm not ready to say that the Jets have a better roster top to bottom than New England at this point.
Armando, I love what Miami has done culturally in terms of getting some guys flushed out of there that they weren't necessarily bad guys, but they just didn't think that they were going to jump on board with the Brian Flores plan. And it paid dividends because they didn't tank the way folks expected. And I think that there are so many similarities to the 2000 Patriots, Armando, that I saw with Miami last year, just in the way they played. Do they have enough talent to become a playoff team in 2020?
Well, if suddenly they find 2001 Tom Brady, yes, I would say absolutely. The problem is, I don't think 2001 Tom Brady is available to them. And so that's that's kind of a big piece. Look, I understand that the Dolphins are team building, and you got to understand the difference between team building and talent acquiring. They're two mm-hmm. different things. The Dolphins have gone from a team that just acquires talent and adds talent to, at the end of the Adam Gase era, they wanted to build a team. And that has carried through with Chris Greer as the general manager to the Brian Flores time. And they're doing that, obviously. They're not necessarily getting the best players available, but they believe that they're getting the right players available. Mm-hmm. That, however, goes out the window at the quarterback position. They're going to draft a quarterback with the fifth pick overall or whatever highest pick that they have. I've reported that they're going to try to go and trade for number one to take Joe Burrow. I doubt that's going to succeed. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a long, painful process. He's not – whoever comes in here as a rookie quarterback, I don't know that he's going to start right away. And when he does start, it's going to take a while. So, you know, the Dolphins as a playoff team, you know, I
don't know, Armando. I think you're underselling them. I really do. I think, honestly, if you get somebody in the top five, and that's why I'd say Tua, it's a little bit of a dice roll because, I mean, I know he's testing well, but he's got the hip. He's a little smaller guy. I wouldn't be betting on him as much as I might take the easier fits the suit kind of quarterback, Burrow obviously being the key one. Great get on them trying to go up and get Burrow by you today. I got to ask a question that fascinates me. Does Josh Rosen really, really, really suck? Because if I were the New England Patriots, I wouldn't even draft a quarterback. I'd go get the 10th overall pick from 2 years ago, bring him up here, and let him compete with Stidham and have Hoyer ride in sidecar for the both of them and supervising them. Why does Josh Rosen suck to the point where people are giving up on a guy who was the 10th overall pick a couple years ago?
Josh Rosen, and by the way, if the Patriots are interested in trading for him, let's do it right now, Tom.
You and me work it out?
Can we do it right now? Give me a second round pick and he's all yours.
A second?
A second.
He's got to get his ass cut anyway. It's like a fifth rounder at best.
Okay.
Let's do it. Done. But why does he suck? Is anybody else mesmerized by the fact that Josh Rosen apparently cannot play 2 years after everyone thought that he might be the best arm in the draft?
It's not that he cannot play. There's something that isn't quite connecting. He's not firing on all cylinders in that the leadership isn't what most teams want in a starting quarterback. That is the death knell for a starting quarterback. Yep. The anticipation isn't quite there when he's on the field. And the whole thing with nice guy, but guys just don't flock to him.
Sure.
He's in a situation.
Years.
Fitzpatrick is not that great of a quarterback, not that good, but guys flock to him. That guy should be a general in some army somewhere because guys will do things for him that they wouldn't do for their mothers. And, and the contrast is so apparent and so stark that when it was the right thing to do last year to play Josh Rosen and lose games for the tanking Dolphins, Brian Flores said, no, I'm not losing that locker room because everyone knows that the leader is not Josh Rosen. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. And that's something that Josh Rosen has to carry now.
Yeah, it's amazing because in a cultural overhaul, you want to be able to go with the young guy and have him be that and not the old guy because it almost damns him if he can't succeed. My last question, guys, I want to go around real quick and ask which team, not the fan base, not the media, which team, which coach and player combination most relishes the chance to give the Patriots a big heaping serving of shut the Christ up in 2020. I'm betting on Matthew Fairburn's Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I'd have a hard time believing that anybody, any other fan base, any other team, any other, you know, collection of humans in one region wants to beat a team as bad as Bills fans and you know, ownership on down, leadership, players want to beat the New England Patriots. So many people here want not just the Patriots to lose, all of Boston sports to lose. They want they want them to taste some of what Buffalo fans have tasted over the last, I don't know, forever, essentially. So, yeah, I'd say Buffalo by a long shot, because I think it's probably the most passionate fan base of the bunch, and they've just been beaten down by Boston sports time and time and time again, and they see a little window. They're getting some hope. They're starting to put their bets on the Bills in the AFC East in 2020. I think it's dangerous, but, you know, they like hope around here. It sells, and it's their favorite, their drug of choice.
They might get the Charlie Brown treatment. I can feel it already. Lucy pulling the football. Manish, obviously, what's interesting is I think there's such an affinity between Gase and Belichick. Not that he wouldn't try to win games, but I don't see the venom flowing from coach and team to New England that maybe existed a decade ago. Do you?
Well, I think the fan base obviously hates New England to the core. I think the Jet fan base, more than any other fan base in the division, with all due respect, Matthew, to Buffalo, hates New England because of the history, the specific history that the Patriots and the Jets have had, the ties, obviously, with Belichick and Parcells. And Tom, you remember this a few years back, the Patriots putting in a tampering request when the Jets tampered with Darrell Revis, and then the Jets got dinged for, I don't know, $100,000 or whatever it was. So these franchises clearly do not like each other. But I'm with you, Tom. Adam Gase has an affinity for Bill Belichick. He idolizes him. I saw those guys together in Indianapolis many times, walking through the city. So, I don't know if he'd want to, you know, crush his soul, but I certainly know that the fans would not like nothing better than to finally, bury that organization and bury that coach.
And ironically, on the flip side, Armando, I really think that Brian Flores will absolutely love the opportunity just because of the kind of guy he is and the competitor he is to stick it to Bill. And Bill will very much want to make sure that he keeps his hand on the head of Brian Flores and just holds it down. Am I reading that relationship correctly from the way you're seeing it? I didn't mean it that way. I did not mean it that way. I meant just pushing. I didn't mean it that way. Anyway, Armando, pushing the little brother away. Heisman, let's go with that hand
move. No, I get what you're saying. And look, there, I believe there's mutual respect there. I believe that obviously both of those men are very competitive and want to beat each other to a pulp, but I don't think there's this visceral reaction to the Patriots in South Florida. First of all, I get it. The Patriots have dominated the division, but you know, the Miami Miracle, and I get it. The Patriots have dominated the division, but the team that's given Tom Brady the toughest time for decades is the Miami Dolphins. I get it. The Patriots have dominated the division, but the reason that you worked that extra weekend last year and the Patriots didn't have the bye was the Miami Dolphins. So in many respects, the Miami Dolphins, though not very good for two decades and inconsistent, have been the toughest team on the Patriots of all these teams because they've often been not good enough for anybody else, but good enough to beat the Patriots.
Hey, Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, Armando Salguero, Miami Herald, Manish Mehta from New York Daily News. Guys, this was a blast, and I'd love to try it again, even after the virus exits the country and the planet. I appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure.
Thanks, Tom.
Be well, guys.
All right, take care. All right, folks, that's it for the Patriots Talk podcast, first edition of the 2020 quarantine question and answer session. We'll join you later on in the week, perhaps. Phil Perry and I will be jumping on these a little bit more frequently as well as time goes on. And these guys, like I could tell them right now to hit the stop video on their things with the Zoom stuff, but they're all just sitting there staring at me. It's weird. I don't know how it works now either. We'll see you guys. Take care.